have Ghost Nomad and Ghost Nomad Junior. Join me in welcoming them.
Thanks. So welcome to One Bag Cookie.
Ooh.
Gotta be careful there. Welcome to One Bag Cookie. We're father, son, obviously. And we wanted to give a talk about what sparks that innovator and what sparks that desire to go into technology, gaming, and just about anything, information, technology, security, all that stuff. Because I think if we look back and we find out where we started, we may find where we want to go and what we want to do eventually when we grow up, right? Because we're all just big kids around here. So start out, tell you a little bit about myself. I'm Ghost Nomad. I'm a geek. That's a big part of who I am. I'm a husband and a father. And that's really important to this talk because without being a husband and a father, I wouldn't have the pleasure of watching my kids growing up in technology and really getting back to why I wanted to get into technology. I do haiku. Last year at Nauticon, I gave a talk on haiku, and I think it was a lot of fun, and I've been doing haiku probably for about almost 2 years now. I've got a little over 600 haiku, and that's something that my son picked up as well, so that's kind of important to this. My son says I'm a techno freak, because I just like technology, and it obviously has rubbed off on him and hopefully on my other kids. I'm a blogger. I write at ghostnomad.com. I write haiku at ithaiku.com, and I write about being a dad also. So I haven't written as much lately, but that's where you can find some of my stuff. I'm a gamer. Gamer is a big part of what you'll hear today, especially with my son, because that's what sometimes sparks you to want to do stuff. I'm an avid reader, carpenter, cook, and I'm in information security, and I was a painter at one point in my life. So it's really an eclectic blend of who I am, and I think being eclectic is what has brought a lot of us to information security and technology. And so it's good sometimes to go back and look at our beginnings.
Hi, I'm Ghost Nomad Jr., and I'm a martial artist. That's probably one of the biggest parts of my life, is being a martial artist. Following by being a martial artist, I'm a black belt in Taekwondo. I got my black belt a few months ago, and I still do Taekwondo. I'm a storyteller and a blogger. I write about snowman stories and how I meet them and everything. And I'm a game hacker. I've done about 3 game hacks in the past year or so. I am a game creator. Me and my dad right now are creating a game. I'm an animal lover. Probably my favorite pet is my dog, Snickers. I am a kid. That's played a big part of my life, of course. I am a gamer, another big part. Me and my dad like to play games a lot of times. I'm a fourth grader, and along with being a fourth grader, I'm a student. And that's all about me.
So that's a little bit about ourselves. To start things off, so in our family, I'm the OG. Probably like, what's an OG? Well, I'm the original gamer. Yeah. So my wife wasn't big into games when she was growing up, but I was. I remember getting my first Atari console for Christmas and just playing. And then I remember when I got my first Nintendo, and you know, like my parents would be like, hey, you got to get off the Nintendo. And I'm like, yeah, okay, a couple more minutes, one more level, which I hear from my kids all the time. And now I know how my parents felt when they would say that. But I think going into, when I play games, you know, it really, I just didn't want to play the game. I wanted to learn how the game worked. I wanted to know more about it. And when I was his age, we didn't have a lot of the computing power and open source tools. You know, I had the Commodore 64, and I think my dad had a TI. I think that was my first computer, was the TI, and then I went to a Commodore 64. My grandfather got an 8086, so, you know, all the old school stuff. I think the first real game I wrote, well, I didn't write it. I got a computer magazine, and it was all in binary, and you had to enter the ones and zeros. And what that got me was this very pixelated plane that flew around, and heat-seeking missiles would chase you, and you try to get as close to the ground as you could so they'd blow up. And so gaming's come a long way, as we all know that, if you're back to the original games and stuff. So, but as we'll talk later, I think the gaming plays a lot more into being the technology person I am today than I really thought about before doing this talk with Ghost Nomad Jr. here. And so when talking about some proud tech dad moments, of course I wouldn't be here today giving this talk without those proud tech dad moments. When I first got on Twitter, I was kind of like, nobody's going to want to listen to what I have to say. I don't really have anything interesting to say. And then my kids started doing some pretty funny, at least what I thought were funny things. And I thought, well, I'll tweet about that. And, you know, if people bite, they bite. If not, I'm not losing anything. I kind of got a record of what my kids did. And the response I got was pretty overwhelming. I couldn't believe the number of people that actually thought these things were funny like I did, which is good. And so some of those proud tech dad moments revolved around Thanksgiving, when we all sat down for Thanksgiving dinner, and Ghost Nomad Jr. here was 18 months old, so he was just a little toddler walking around, and he would really like to sit on my lap when I was checking my email, and the blinky lights got him all excited, just like it gets us excited today. And so we sit down for Thanksgiving dinner, and a couple minutes into dinner, we hear a modem going off in the other room. And my father-in-law is like, "What? Who's in there? I thought we were all just sitting down." Look around, and he's missing. So go in. He had actually pulled up the icon to load in their ISP dialer and dialed it, and was getting all excited because it was coming up. And so that was like the first like technology moment when I was so proud as a dad that my kids were picking up the technology. And there's been many other things since then that. You know, things like calling out the neighbors for running open wireless access points. I remember Ghost Nomad Jr. said, "My four-year-old brother could own your wireless network." So, you know, what's funny about that is not only are we trying to help people with security, but all of a sudden we've got this next generation of kids wanting to do the same thing and kind of doing it in a mocking way. I mean, do you really want to hear from a four-year-old that he can own your wireless network? I mean, that's kind of embarrassing. So it's those proud tech dad moments that really got me thinking about, wow, how can I get my kids into technology without forcing it on them?
The Odd Bomb. So I started the Odd Bomb last year when I was in third grade. And it all started out for, we had to write almost like a book report on a thing, how our one day with the snowman. And once I was done with that, I thought it was really cool writing a story like that. And so I really didn't want to stop. So I'd like write stories on paper, whatever I could really find. Mm-hmm. And then one day we're driving home. My dad's picking me up from school and we're driving home. And I'm telling him how it'd be cool if I had my own website and I could write stuff on it about like the snowman and everything like my dad does. And then one day after school, again, my dad told me that there's something at home. And when we got home, I was really psyched. My dad said, "Come into the computer room, I have something to show you." And I'm like, "Oh, somebody already took the Odd Bomb?" Because he was going on theoddbomb.com. And he was like, "Nope, it's yours." And I started freaking out. I couldn't get off that webpage. And that's really how the Odd Bomb started.
And where did the name come from?
Me and my brother, we liked making weird kind of food, like peanut butter and jelly with like Cheerios inside of it and all that. And so we thought it'd be cool to have a restaurant called The Odd Bomb because we serve odd foods. And then me and my brother decided that would also be a cool name for a website, because who has a website like that?
Right.
So that's where I got the name.
Yep. And what's cool is not only did I go in and set up the blogging software for him and, you know, showed him how to log in and write his stories, but he also wanted to learn about the theming and how to work with the theming in the blog software. So it was really cool to sit down with him, because he went through and selected the theme that he wanted for the website. And then he wasn't happy with the way it looked, so we went into the templates and actually started mucking around in the code and made some changes so that it worked a little better the way he wanted. So it wasn't just, hey, I want to type on the internet. It was, hey, I want to make it look and feel the way I want it to look and also tell my stories that I want to tell. So that was really, again, another proud tech dad moment when your kids are like, hey, you know, I'm not satisfied with just the status quo. I want to learn how to do it. I want to make it better. The same way that I remember growing up as a kid playing games wanting to do the same thing.
Okay, so my first game in console was, it was a Nintendo handheld console. It was, it fits almost in your hand pretty much, really small. And it came with two games. I got it for Christmas from my grandparents. And I probably didn't get off of it that whole day. I was on it. Like, I'd open other presents. I'd be like, okay, can I play it now? Mm-hmm. And like, one of my mom's sisters who lives far from here, she would mostly call up and say like happy birthday and all that. And my parents were trying to force me to talk to her because I couldn't get off that console. And it came with a Mario game and I think Cars game. Mm-hmm. And the Mario game was my favorite. And I really never stopped playing that game. I still haven't beat it, but yeah, me and my dad play it a lot together. Yep. We don't play it as much though now. Yeah. Now we are really into computer virtual online games.
And what was cool about the Mario game that he's talking about is it was one of my first games I had for my original Nintendo. So it's cool to see that, you know, here's this old style game, you know, we've got the Wii and all this other stuff, but yet it's the original Mario games that he's going back to and having fun playing. And he's stuck at the same point that I was stuck at when I had the game. It was the forest, and you go around in a circle, and you got to figure out the way to get through.
And you like beat every level, and there's still no way to get past this forest.
Yeah, so it's just cool to see that, you know, the stuff that we grew up with, it's still inspiring people today to do the to want to play on. And so, this is. If you're a parent, or if you've ever been around kids, you don't even have to be a parent to have heard this at least once in your life. But anytime you give your kids something and they need help, it's always, Daddy, 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 or Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. And my wife and I joke about how we're going to change our name to something that they can't even pronounce because it's always constantly. And when the smaller your kids, the more they do it. The older they get, then they really stop doing it. But
still do it.
Still do it. And so, you know, when you give the kid a technology like a computer at a young age, they can't read, they can't type. There's a lot of stuff that they can't do. And so, you know, Ghost Nomad Jr. would watch TV and he would see a game on TV he'd watch a TV show and it would say, check out our website, we have games. So, of course, it's Daddy, 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 I want to go on the website. So you get on, you go through and you make sure that the website looks okay, make sure it's adequate for the age that they're at, and then you pull it up, and you get them all set up, and you teach them how to use the mouse, because most of those games for small kids are, you know, mouse-based. They don't have a lot of typing, which is great. You walk out of the room, and you're not out of the room more than 3-4 minutes when you hear, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. So you walk back in, and of course, the game has done something, or if it's one of those
links, you know, on it that just bring you to a completely different website.
Yeah, of course, they put ads on all these sites, and they click on the ad, and then they're like, Daddy, Daddy, the computer's broken. It's not playing the game anymore. So you got to go in and, okay, don't click on those links. And, you know, you kind of become that firewall for your kid. So the question is, as a geeky parent, how far do you go setting up that firewall? Because you're going to have ads. Now, hopefully, sites like Disney and stuff, the ads aren't malicious. But you never know because there's always stuff out there that can get into that. So you got to teach them, okay, don't click on the ads. So that's good. But then a lot of those games are flash-based. So if they click outside the box that the game's in, now all of a sudden the game doesn't work. They're scrolling up and down, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. So you're walking back into the room to help them. And so, you know, it's interesting to learn about how the kids use the computers as they grow up. And what was really neat is that there was another game that we played together that before he could read, and there was a lot of reading involved. So you walk out of the room, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. So you walk back in, and you'd read it to him, walk back out, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Walk back in, read it. And if I'm saying it a lot, that's because how much you really actually hear it when you have kids. And so eventually, it helped him to learn to read a lot faster because he wanted to be able to play the game by himself. He didn't want to have me coming back in and out or having his mom come in and out. And his mom doesn't really like computer games, so it's more, oh, let me get your dad. Or I'll help you, but only for a second, whereas dad will sit down with you and play for hours and hours.
And won't get off it.
And won't get off it, and I'll get in trouble when he won't. And so you come to a point where you say, okay, here's what we're going to do. And so there's a lot of games that he wanted to play, and I'd always have to go in and type it in. So I got the bright idea, being a geeky dad, why don't I set up a web page? But he can't read, so I have to put on the links as images from the websites. So I set up a web page, and we still have it today. We put an icon that's a butterfly, and the kids know that that's what they're supposed to use.
A rainbow-colored butterfly.
Rainbow-colored butterfly. And that's what they're supposed to use to get onto their online games. Now, of course, as they get older, they can start typing in things. And pretty soon, you're playing online games with them, and they want to find a hack for the game or a cheat because they're getting frustrated. So it's, can I Google something? Okay. Now we've opened a can of worms. Because now, you know, we know how links can be manipulated on search engines. So then it becomes, well, do I put a firewall in now? Maybe it's a little early, but at least we put in that parental firewall. Or, okay, you can use Google, but you got to come talk to me first.
Or he has to be in the
room. Or I have to be in the room. And eventually you get to where it's at an age where it's, can I Google? What are you Googling? Oh, it's this. Okay, we can do that. But remember, don't click on any links that look odd. And then you can also do things like, I want to go to this website. And so, you know.
After a while, it's hard to keep going in the room and saying, okay, that one's good.
Right. So teaching them the tools to use to look things up to make sure that they're not linked to bad things. But also using things in your browser that show safe links. And I use safe links loosely because it's whoever's rating the link. So, of course, if somebody wants their link to be green, they can just, you know, stack the links. But making sure that, you know, you're trying to limit that daddy, 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 and enable the kids to do what they want to do on the computer, but yet teaching them why things aren't always safe and trying to build that firewall into them at that early age. Which brings us to the one bad cookie.
So I loved to watch Wonder Pets when I was a lot younger, so I always was trying to find a Wonder Pets game. And I eventually found one, and what you do is you would type in your name, you'd play it, you'd print off a certificate, since you like saved the penguin or whatever that is. And then it had something that says, play again. And I would press that, and it would ask for my name again. And then see, eventually that got frustrated, that really frustrated me. So it was, day, day, day. And he comes in the room, I'm like, this is, it won't remember my name. And then my dad's like, well, it must have one bad cookie. So my dad was telling me all about session cookies and all this. And I finally got it. And then that was really what happened. And once I understood that, we were at my grandparents' house. And so they have a computer there, of course. Mm-hmm. And I asked my grandpa to come downstairs because I wanted to show him this, how it won't remember my name. So he was probably down there for about 20 minutes, and then he comes up with this puzzled look on his face and says to everybody at the table, I thought cookies were only to eat, but I guess they're in computers. So then everybody, my dad and my mom and everything, they started cracking up, and my dad's like, I told him that yesterday or a week ago, and
yeah, of course, anything technology, everyone blames me for putting in the kids' heads. And what was really cool is that, and this is the balance you walk as a parent, you know, bringing up any kid, but also in technology, is that I don't want to push my kid to do what I do. You know, because I'm sure everyone growing up said, why is Dad making me do this? I don't want to be like Dad. I want to do this. And of course, we push him. So you walk that fine line between, am I pushing him to be too much like me, or am I giving him the information enough so that they can eventually do it themselves? And what was cool about this story is that I said, kind of flippantly, oh, it must have one bad cookie. And it wasn't then me explaining him to him, like lecturing him. It was, what do you mean, Dad? And so I kind of, you know, glossed it over, and, oh, yeah, whatever, this is because I say so type of thing. And it was, no, what do you mean? How does that work? What's a cookie? Why do cookies do this? Why isn't it saving my name?
Because I really didn't like hearing it's one bad cookie. I want, like, information on what's happening, why is it doing that, why is it one bad cookie?
Right. And so, you know, at that point, it's like, okay, I've got an open canvas to put this information out there, and I'll only push as far as he wants to take it in. And so my father-in-law, when he came back up, that look on his face was priceless, because he had just got schooled by a six-year-old on session cookies on the computer, and he's like, you know, six-year-olds should only worry about cookies that he's eating. Why is he worrying about cookies on the computer? And I didn't even know there was cookies on the computer. So it was just another funny story about how, you know, you give the information to your kids, and you hope that they take it in, and when it comes back like that, it's just really funny. Another story that kind of branches off of that is about the same time as your kids want to do more and more websites, and they start wanting you to register. We all love registering on sites to get
there. Username and password.
Yeah, it's free, but you got to register. And so then it becomes, okay, well, let's register. Oh, it wants my birthday. Ooh, now we're giving out information about ourselves. So you got to teach your kids why it's kind of not that good that a website's asking you for your birthday. So maybe you need to put in a different birthday. And maybe you need to put in a different first name instead of your real name. And so kind of trying to teach them about their privacy and why it's important. Well, then it becomes, now they're on 10 websites. And they can't remember their birthday across all 10 websites because they're going to pick different names and different
birthdays.
Passwords and different birthdays. Because we want them to use different passwords. You know, that's bad to use.
Because if one person finds that one password, then it's done.
Right.
They've got every one of their online virtual world passwords.
Yep. And eventually, as you grow up, if you continue that same bad habit, every system you log into will have your same password, and then it becomes really easy to own everything you do. And so I decided to teach my kids about using a password store, like KeePass.
KeePass.
And so what's KeePass? What's a password store? So I get all their stuff loaded up, and they think it's really cool. My brother-in-law, who's in technology himself, is over one day, and he comes out of the den shaking his head like this, and I said, what's wrong? And he goes, it's sad when I get schooled by a six-year-old on password security. And again, proud tech dad moment. I mean, here's a person in technology, and my six-year-old's telling him something that he didn't necessarily know about using password stores to keep all this stuff. And he's like, I have so much to learn from him, which was awesome. I mean, that to me was like, yes, I'm doing it right. And so, you know, we don't just want to push our kids away when they ask us these questions. We want to give them the information as much as they'll take. Because eventually they're going to be who's in the workforce and who we are responsible for taking care of. So war chalking. Again, another story here. Another flippant comment that led to even more stuff. Our neighbors and us were having a lot of practical jokes going back
yes,
and forth.
Yes, many.
Many. We have a pretty fun crowd around us. And so
it's west versus east.
Yeah. West side versus east side.
Sometimes.
So our neighbors were off on vacation, and we were trying to figure out what could we do to them. They had this sheep, and the sheep shows up in various places on people's houses from time to time. And
we still do that now.
We didn't have the sheep, but we're like, what can we do? Well, let's write something
with chalk. That would drive him nuts.
Yeah, that would drive him nuts on his driveway. And again, this was the neighbor that he says, my four-year-old could own your wireless network too. And so I just, again, flip a comment and say, oh, we should war chalk him.
What's war chalking?
Exactly. And so, okay, I can tell him about this. So I go through what war chalking is. You know, war chalking is marking where wireless access points are and if they're open or closed and what their SSIDs are. And so he says, well, let's do it. And the funny thing is that, you know, having wireless toys like DS's, you know, he connects. Our router is hopefully as secure as we can make it. You know, never know.
And see, both of our neighbors on both sides of our house both have their wireless, you know, out there. You can do it from outside or anywhere. So all I would have to do is go to another side of the house and press wireless connection on my DS.
And so he hooks up his DS to the unsecured because ours is secure. And so he's like, yeah, let's war chalk him. So we go out there and we look up the proper symbols and we put them on his driveway. We didn't write the SSID, we were being nice, even though it was a very simple one to get to. But when my neighbor pulled into his driveway, he was just, oh, they got me. And he's like, how did he even, I said, well, he did it. You know, blame the kid, right? And he's like,
first time.
At first, he probably would have said, yeah, right. And then he goes, yeah, he probably did. So again, proud tech dad, you know, here teaching my kids something, and he's schooling. And my neighbor, by the way, is also in technology. So again, it's kind of a fun jab at him that, hey, your neighbor here, now 9-year-old, is war chalking. So it's, again, just keeping our kids up to date with us, you know, and not just passing it off, because kids are really inspirational. Whether you have your own, whether you have nieces and nephews, whether you just come in contact them by chance.
Like a neighbor.
You know, you're going to come in contact with kids at some point in your life. And what's cool is if you watch the way they learn and how they do things, and you give them the knowledge but don't push them to drive the knowledge, then you'll get a lot of cool things out of it. And I think that's where, when I was sitting down trying to think about what should I do for Nauticon coming up, and I thought, wow, you know what? My son has really inspired me to do a lot of things. And what he's really inspired me to do is keep that openness and always want to learn more, which is very important when you're in information security or technology, whether you're a gamer, whether you're a hacker, whether you're a server room,
anything.
Cowboy, or, yeah, you know, whatever you are, you can get a lot of inspiration. And when you watch them and when you watch how they learn, you can actually learn a lot about how we learn. And the things that you can start to understand, well, if I put this on a younger generation, then maybe the older generation will carry it through. At the same time, we can be inspirational to our kids. As you saw back at the very beginning of my tag cloud, I said that I'm a cook. And that was a very small thing. But I've recently taken up, my New Year's resolution was to cook something new each week.
And see, these cookies over here are one of the new things he made.
Right.
So.
And before that, I could make brats, I could make burgers, I could make spaghetti.
You could make anything, really.
I could make a cheesecake. I was pretty limited in what I could make. And, you know, my wife would be like, oh, burgers again, oh, chicken again. Yeah. Good
steak
thing
again.
The girls out, because
steak
now
again.
We can actually have a lot of different things. Yeah, steak. And so I said, you know what, I really need to learn how to do new things. I can't just do it in technology. I need to carry it through the rest of my life. And so I'm doing one new recipe a week. Well, what's cool is that my kids are like, hey, Dad's doing something new every week. Why don't I do something new every week? And so again, it's not pushing them to do what we're doing. It's leading it by example. And so if we're experimenting and we're trying new things, if we're getting things like breadboards and putting electronics on it, and they're watching us do that, they're going to want to do that too. And so the same way we wouldn't want to push a noob away who's coming into technology because we want them to learn, the same thing, we don't want to push our kids away, but we don't want to push them too hard the way that we're going. So it's, again, finding that balance, and not only inspiring, but getting inspired by them.
It isn't working. I've said this a lot of times for a lot of virtual world games and lots of others. Some of them are like Toontown. We used to play that game. There was this elevator that you go to a boss. Now, you held 8 people in this, and this was a really hard thing to get to because you have to get really far in the game. Now, see, we got lucky one time. We got 8 people in there. Now, see, it started off a countdown from 20 seconds, and then when it hit 0, the elevator closed and you went to the boss. Now, see, this really frustrated us because by the time it was like 5 or something like that, 2 people would jump off. And then we had to wait for 8 more. We got to wait for another 2 people, and then we had to start the countdown all again. Now see, we got lucky again another time. We actually got in there. Now, the computers we were using weren't the best we could have got. So after we had destroyed these guys and everything, the boss started moving around, and it was this big robot guy. And you'd throw pies at him to destroy him. Now, our computers froze right in the middle of it. And then we finally got back up and working, and we found that we had been sent back because we got destroyed. And then we really never got back into that elevator because people would jump off. And then another game, Wizards, wasn't that bad, actually. Very few things that weren't working, like trading. Your wizard would cast spell cards. Now, see, there were some things called treasure cards, which were higher than the usual card. Now, you could only trade those, so you could never trade any hats or robes. So that got really hard because, like, my dad would get something that I really needed, and then I get something that he really needed, and we couldn't trade them. We could only sell them. And then, see, you're all these different characters, so you're different, so you can't wear the same robes as, like, a fire student. A myth can't wear a fire student robe. And then Pirates, which was another one of those games that had very few things that were wrong with it, was actually just because of now, they've changed it so much. Like, you used to hold 6 weapons, now you can only hold 5 in one item. And that was the first online game that me and my dad beat. And then, that game wasn't that bad, but it was always about how they changed it, and they never really made any new quests after that to get farther. So that was another thing that didn't really work that well.
Yeah, and a lot of our evening time where a lot of kids are around playing board games or doing things. One of the ways I've connected with my kids is through online gaming. And so a lot of these frustrations that he's talking about are not just frustrations about a game that he would walk away and say, well, I'm not going to play that again. It's actually a frustration that led to, I think I can do this better. Or if I was doing a game, this is how I would do it.
I would make it trade everything, yeah. You know. You have all the ideas of doing everything better.
Right. And so as an adult, you know, if we're writing a game, we're like, oh, yeah, we're going to make it do this. You got to have these guys on here. Well, if you're making it for a kid and you don't have that perspective of what's going to frustrate a kid playing it.
Is that it wasn't made by, like, a kid who knows what kids like. That's probably the hardest thing.
Yeah, you're gonna fail. And so, but even through that failure of that causing him frustration, it inspired him to want to do his own thing. And inspired to create as opposed to just walk away.
Let's do this was really a thing that me and my brother like saying to my dad a lot. So me and my brother were in the basement playing around, playing the Wii and everything. And I'm like, wouldn't it be cool if we made our own game? And my brother's like, yeah, that'd be awesome. So we're talking about this, how it could be a spy game and everything. And so after like an hour, we went back upstairs into the kitchen and said, Day, We want to tell you something. And we told him all about it. And he's like, oh, yeah, we should do that. So probably a week later, my dad got books about how to create all this. And we started from a 3D game, which was probably a really bad mistake we made. We didn't get very far in that. We couldn't figure out how to make the things, you know, the backgrounds and everything. So then we decided, let's go 2D. And we didn't get very far on that either. We barely started that. Probably a few days on that, and we gave up on that. So then we decided to do something called text-based. Now, for any of you who don't know what text-based is, it's a blank, like a black screen or whatever color screen in the background with words. And on one thing, you would type in a command. And if it was one of the things that was written in the thing, it would like move you left or move you right. Now, we thought this was going to be really easy, and it was pretty easy. But then we really found something that was hard, was picking up items. Now, see, we finally got it working after a while. And, well, that was one thing about it was we finally did it, like, finally, after, like, a whole month of doing this. Then I go over to my friend's house, and I'm like, I want to show you this. And, well, I got on it, said this website appears to be broken and all that stuff. And then I'm like, no, after all that work. And then, so I come home, I tell my dad all about this. He's like, what? So we go on this, and we're like, no, oh, I see what we did wrong. And, yeah, We still haven't fixed that yet, but we're going to.
Yeah. What's cool, again, when it wasn't just, hey, I want to create a 3D online game for multiplayers, and me saying, oh, no, that's too hard. It was, well, here, let me show you what we have to do. Let me show you how you have to do 3D modeling. Let me show you what the game engine would have to be. And all of a sudden, it became the realization of, ooh, this could take a couple of years at this pace, because we don't even know how to use the tools, let alone do the design. And so then again, the 2D, I was like, okay, 2D, that'll be a little easier. Again, I didn't say, no, I got a couple tools, and we started to play around with it. It's like, okay, this is kind of going slow. And what really kicked off the text-based idea was I had been searching, I don't know why, but I had been searching for my favorite text-based game of Zork, and I found there was an online version. And I'm sitting there playing, and all of a sudden he comes in the room, and he's like, what are you doing?
What are you doing? And what are you playing?
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, it's a text-based game. He's like, oh, can I play?
And you're like, okay. Oh, okay, are you sure? Like, yeah, it's just text.
Yeah, it's just text. I mean, you're playing 3D games, and you're wanting to play text.
I'm not sure if you want to play this game.
Yeah, but I think, a couple hours later, Mommy had to come in, and
say, okay, you need to get off now. Why don't you go have some ice cream with your dad?
Yeah, so, I mean,
trying to get me away.
What was cool is that, you know, here's something, again, going back to the old technology that we grew up with and inspired us, and again, he found a new purpose in it, in that, hey, this is how I could do a game, and he's right, you know, I didn't just say, okay, let's do a text-based game, you write the storyline, I'll do the coding. No, we sat down together and did maps, we sat down together and wrote the storyline, we sat down together and worked on the PHP code, and actually at one point he caught, he was my debugger, he caught an error I had made, said, oh, your problem's right here, went back and fixed it, and it worked. So what's really cool about that, again, it's just so cool that we're not pushing, but I'm giving them the information, you're giving the kids the information, and they're working with it, and they're actually eating it up and wanting more and more. And so, yeah, like you said, we've got the movement engine down, Pat. It's that picking things up, because going back to the one bag cookie, we wanted to try to do it without cookies. We're just passing the information from page to page. That's where we really had our issues. So we're hoping to get at least a demo of what we have up soon.
Mm-hmm.
And so that leads us, you know, into, we're making generations. I mean, you know, we talk about baking in security, the idea that when someone's developing code, they got to do it securely as opposed to bolting it on later. And if you really think about, take that model and look at how technology has grown today, we've had generations that grew up that never even knew what a computer were going to be, let alone how to use it now. And we've got a lot of, we've got that generation that, you know, got into computing as adults and really didn't get into it that young. And then you've got, you know, younger generations that grew up with computing. Again, I think my first computer was at age 8 or 9. But they were really the old school, really hard to use, hook the tape, you know, the cassette tape up to the computer so you could make it do games. And now the technology is so far advanced that now we've got the generation. So what we've had to do is we've had to bolt on security to the older generation. So why don't we bake the security in at the younger generation and really make sure that as they grow, they don't click on those links that they're not supposed to. They don't fall for the spam that they're not supposed to. And we're not going to catch 100% the same way you can't catch 100% of any error or issue or bug. But at least when we're making that next generation, you know, we're securing our future. We're building that security in at the ground level. And so maybe, just maybe, if we teach the children and the kids, you know, young adults, that you don't use the same password across all your websites, whether they're banking or just gaming, just don't do it. You know, all those different things. Use a password store. Use strong passwords. Use all that stuff.
KeePass.
You know, whatever your password store is, you know, make sure that we're giving them the information. So as they get older, whether they go into technology, or whether they're a nurse.
Or a cook.
Or something else that's using the technology, whether it's their everyday life or not. They're learning to be secure, and then they can worry about those future, the 0 days, those future events as they come up, as opposed to trying to learn this other stuff first and then make themselves more secure. And so, when a game is more, you know, again, I talked about when I started gaming, we've talked a lot about how Ghost Nomad Junior games. And it really got me thinking the last couple of weeks, you know, maybe it's more than a game. I mean, most of the games that we grew up with, you know, we're protecting the castle, we're defending our king,
we're slaying the monsters.
We're slaying the monster. We're the hero. We want to win. We have to win by being secure. And so, does it make sense that probably a lot of us were gamers growing up, and now we're doing the same thing in organizations? You know, we're trying to protect the castle. We're trying to slay the monster. We're trying to do all this stuff. So really, it was a game, but it's a lot more than a game when we bring it into our current life, if you really think about it, right? I mean, it's not just a game, right?
Right.
Or is it? I mean, can it be more than a game?
Probably.
Yeah? Do you think it's more than a game?
Most of the time.
Most of the time?
It's just a game.
See? I mean, to them, it's just a game. But maybe in the future, they'll be more like us. Oh, hey, look, there's cookies.
Cookies?
There. Yeah. See, because, no, it's more than a game, though. Oh, look, the cookies. So, yeah, no, it's great that it can be a game at that age, and we want it to be a game at that age. We want our kids to grow up having fun, playing games. But we also want to give them the information, put those seeds in there, so as they get older, they start to realize, hey, maybe I learned something as a kid that prepared me for my life. Now, I've gotten scolded many times for giving a talk without doing haiku, since my first talk was about haiku last year at Nauticon. And that's also something that Ghost Nomad Jr. has picked up. So here's one of his haiku.
Okay,
so he said, laser tag is fun. I want to play it all day. My dad just got me. Obviously, we were out playing laser tag at the time you wrote that. Here's one of mine. Drive halted. Why did the backup just fail? Now there's nothing. This is actually inspired after my wife's computer crashed. She was very, very upset about that one. Geeks have all converged, gaining more knowledge each day. What new things are shared? I wrote this about a con, not particularly this one, but it's very appropriate today as it was many other cons. Here's another one. Ghost Nomad Jr. wrote, my hair is purple, but don't use peanut butter. I want a cookie.
One that I just got off the top of my head. Because yeah. My little brother was watching something with purple hair guys, and then I was eating peanut butter. And I decided to write a little fast haiku.
Yeah. So even though I write about technology, he writes about it for fun, but he's learning. Because as I like to say, you can learn complexity through simplicity, and that's what haiku sometimes does. Predict the number to be used next in sequence, then inject yourself. And here's his other one. My dog sleeps all day. She sleeps from morning to night. She is just lazy. So.
That reminds me of my dog a lot. Like, yeah. She's probably doing that at home right now.
Yeah, she's probably sleeping on the back of the chair like she always does.
Or in front of the big window.
We find the dog in the oddest place of sleeping. I don't know if anyone else has that problem.
She goes. Anyway, she'll go behind the
So we're going to open it up for questions, but we do want to let you know where you can find us. I'm Ghost Nomad at ghostnomad.com. If you ever have any questions, just want to chat about something, that's where you can find me. Twitter, I'm Ghost Nomad, and you can find me at www.ghostnomad.com.
And you can find me at theoddbob.com. Yeah, and so. You can read about my snowman stories and see haiku and everything.
And if you see something posted by Knuckles, that's
my brother.
That's his brother. So hopefully the other two
campfire stories.
Yeah, hopefully the other two, as they get older, they'll want to do it too. But again, give them the nudge, not the push.
At least getting another one would be nice.
Anyone have any questions?
For Ghost Nomad Jr., what do you think about the text-based game as opposed to the 3D games?
I actually liked it almost more than 3D games because I could pretty much make anything happen in my head from what I heard. So I'd say I like text-based a lot more than 3D games.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
We actually don't. My BlackBerry has been working as well as it should.
We just fixed it though. His thing that he would scroll up on got jammed or something like that. Last night we had burgers, he got some grease on his hand and slipped right into it, and now it's working.
Yeah, but 3 months, my scroll wheel wouldn't go up, and now all of a sudden he says burgers, and now it goes up. So, but no, we don't do a lot. Most of the stuff we do is online games, so through the computer, laptop. Anyone else? No? Well, we did bring cookies. Help yourself. Hopefully they're good. Hopefully you don't find one bad cookie in there. I tried to keep my daughter from picking her nose and licking the batter when she made them, so.
I tried.
You caught that, Dave. No, they're safe, they're clean. So we're going to open them up and feel free. They're brownie cookies, all chocolate and sugar.
Sugar.
So feel free, help yourself. Thanks.